Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The selected lesson for our consideration this morning is that gospel lesson read only moments ago. Dear Christian friends, friendship. It has been said that friendship is on the decline in our society today. Apparently, while we live in a world that is more connected than it has ever been technologically, we are struggling with this physical aspect of relationships, friendship. And so more and more loneliness has become a problem in our society. Even though moms and dads are regularly shoulder to shoulder at countless games around our world, for some reason, we're not connecting. And so we live in this funny little world where it has all of a sudden become possible for us to feel, as one person put it, alone, even in a crowded room. So then, isn't it interesting that Jesus, our Savior, would speak to us the way that he does in our lesson today? I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Yes, this morning Jesus stands in front of us and he holds out true friendship. He tells us this is a relationship that is completely supplied by Christ in order that you and I might be truly friendly in the world around us. The author C.S. Lewis once said of friendship that it was two people standing shoulder to shoulder as they walked through life. It was because of that picture that he then went on to describe a relationship where everything was equal. No one was needy. No one was superior or inferior. In every aspect, they viewed themselves, at least, as simply equal. Bonded together by this whatever it was that had brought them together in the first place, that common thing that they shared. Of course, if that's what friendship is, then you and I have a big problem when it comes to God. Because we can't stand shoulder to shoulder with him. We are not his equal in any way whatsoever. Everything about God is absolutely an impossibility for us. We struggle. And if we wanted to be like God, well, Jesus defines what that is when he says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Don't. We fail. And as we live in that reality, there's another truth that hits us even harder. Paul speaks of it when he talks to the Romans. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Open hostility is the natural condition of the human being as it stands before God. In our sinful flesh, not only do we not deserve to stand shoulder to shoulder with God, but we are the exact opposite of a friend. We have become an enemy. And so this friendship is going to have to be different. Jesus points at that in our lesson today. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit,
fruit that will last.
When we were openly hostile to him, while we were completely inadequate and utterly annoying and nothing but a disruption in the life of God, he comes to us. He chooses us. In our sinfulness, he comes into our existence and he offers us what we so desperately need, his friendship. Of course, how can God do that? How can holiness and perfection decide to stand in the presence of and befriend sinful wretches like us? Jesus talks about that, doesn't he? As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. So Paul goes on to talk to those Romans again. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? That's the message of reconciliation, as Paul talks about it there for us. While we were enemies of God, God goes to work for us. He sends his one and only Son into this world to take on flesh that one of us might be able to stand shoulder to shoulder with God, having lived perfectly and obeyed his holy will. Jesus goes to the cross that he might supply his holy, precious blood for all of the times that we have been inadequate and utterly annoying and openly hostile to our God, every time we have acted like enemies and not friends. Jesus' sacrifice pays for all of it. And in the resurrection comes the announcement. As God himself tells every one of us that we have now become his friends through Jesus Christ, and therefore can look forward to all of the eternal benefits that that friendship brings. Of course, this kind of love shown to us by our Heavenly Father is bound to change the way that we act, both in front of him and with others in the world around us. Having been made friends of God, we now become friends with all kinds of people around us as well. Listen again to the words of our lesson this morning in their entirety, with that idea of friendship in the back of your mind. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Friends are going to listen to one another. They are not going to live their lives in open hostility toward one another. They're going to strive for what is good in the life of the other individual, and they are going to do everything in their power in order to make that happen. So isn't it interesting that Jesus speaks the way he does today? It's also interesting to note that when we consider God's law in our lives, Jesus takes those Ten Commandments and he boils them down to two. And notice the driving force behind both of them in the verbs that Jesus will use. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Friendship thrives on love. And so as our Savior shows us what love is, he then encourages us to live in that love every day of our lives. Not just love for God as we listen to him and run to his word and partake of his sacrament, but also love for others. Love for one another, in the church especially. Again, it's C.S. Lewis in his book, The Four Loves, that talks wonderfully of friendship. But as he does, he says that friendship possesses an interesting quality when it comes to love. He compares it to passion, the love that exists between a husband and a wife. And he says, while passion is just for two people and never, ever to be shared, friendship is intended to be shared with as many people as possible. And that when that is done, as our friends interact with others and become friends themselves, we're not less for it. We learn more about our friends as they interact with those other people in all of the very aspects of their lives. And we learn them or come to a deeper understanding of our friendship through them. The very same is true here. As you and I show love in the world around us, as we hold out Christ to our neighbors and our friends and our relatives, our understanding of God will deepen. Because as we talk of him with others, maybe other people will understand some aspect of God's word better than we have, and something that we have always struggled with will all of a sudden become illuminated for us. Maybe as we share that word, it is that new friend that we have made who is going to be able to help us when we ourselves are trapped in some sin, pulling us away from that danger and back to God and his word. Maybe they're going to be the ones who are going to help us when we struggle with something in life, offering the helping hand, always leading us back to our God, that our understanding of him grows and deepens with every individual that he draws to himself. Jesus says it well, doesn't he? If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Again, our interaction in the church, the time that we spend for others, with one another, becomes an absolutely important thing, doesn't it? In Christ, all of us are friends. And so Jesus gives us a simple directive. Love one another. I don't know if the talking heads are right or not. Maybe friendship is on the decline in our society. If it is, then our world will only be poorer for it. Human beings are meant to interact with one another. But I do know this. As Christians, we have nothing to worry about. We already possess true friendship. It has been completely supplied to us by Christ our Savior, in order that you and I might be real friends in the world around us. Amen.